This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
From Brock Purdy to Deebo Samuel to Christian McCaffrey to Trent Williams to the defensive tackle market, to the openness and willingness to still talk about Javon Hargrave and others who are actually free agents, Talanoa Hufanga and beyond, but then circles back to the quarterback situation because obviously that's the linchpin around which everything is going to sort of orbit. So 888-957-9570 is the number on anything that kind of stands out to you. But to me, when you have a press conference like this, and we know how these things work, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, or anyone's going to sit down with a small group of PR people with the 49ers and be like, okay, A, what are the things we want to address? B, what are the things I'm likely going to be asked? And then C, how do we want to answer those things? And then D, is there anything that's kind of out of left field that I should know about? That's kind of the discussion that happens before these. So this is a coordinated message. And to me, the message that the 49ers want to strike is we are not going to let our players push us around. That's the message that I got.
A big part of it, and the things I wrote down were that, and also he said that they're the oldest team in football.
Yep.
And I don't know if that is absolutely the fact, but the idea that they're an old team, and you look at how many guys they have in their early 30s, they got some mid-30s as well. You're the oldest team in football, which tells me what I heard him say is we have to get younger. And Debo's a guy coming up on 30, and if you have a young receiver that you can draft in the third or fourth round who's 22, well, you get younger, and Pearsall is younger, and Cowing is younger, and Juwan Jennings is younger, and Ayuk is younger. So I was hearing that and thinking about that fact in terms of a lot of different positions. And the other one was Javon Hargrave, where, you know, they did what they did contractually. They let him go. And I think that the team is kind of hoping that they can get him back for a super, super discounted rate. But like he said, the D-tackle market's going to be very competitive. And, you know, there aren't a lot of those really good proven players out there. So that's another one where you're looking to get younger. And by younger, it also means cheaper.
Well, it's interesting because, like, the question I would throw out to everybody is how cutthroat do you want the 49ers to play this offseason? The interesting thing is last year, I would argue that most of us did not want the 49ers to be very cutthroat. Nobody wanted that. And the reason for that was because they were a breath away from winning the Super Bowl. And so when you're a breath away from winning the Super Bowl, the fan base's thought is, dude, we're right there. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. So Brandon Ayuk ends up in a perfect position to where he's like, we're negotiating. And everyone's like, well, we can't lose Brandon Ayuk. And the Niners are like, yeah, we kind of agree. We also think these negotiations are kind of BS, the way that Brandon's handling it. And then it becomes this whole thing. And then Trent jumps in. There was a little Christian McCaffrey at the beginning as well. And all of a sudden, everybody's getting paid. And then the worst possible thing happens, which is just about everybody who got paid, they all got hurt. Some of them really, really bad, to the point where they could never come back, or they came back and then had to leave again in the case of Christian McCaffrey. And so I think the Niners came out of last offseason very scarred by their experience. But what that sets up now is a very fine line that they need to walk. And that's what I would ask our 49er fan listeners. How cutthroat do you want them to play this offseason? Whether it is with Brock Purdy, Deebo Samuel or anybody who's on the way in, or Hargrave, anyone else who's on the way out, Dre Greenlaw, etc. Because now the fan base is in this mood where it's like, yeah, make moves. Get Deebo out of here. Let's go get younger. I want the 49ers to run their team. I want them to be in charge. I don't want them to lose all of their negotiations. This is me speaking as a fan. At the same time, though, if that's your message and that's your effort, you are running a risk, because now you're negotiating with the most important position in sports. And if that bleeds all summer long, well, you're going to end up in a really bad spot again.
Yeah, because you need your quarterback to be there with your young receivers. If Deebo gets dealt with, if he gets traded or cut before March 21st, then okay, that's like 90, I would put that at a 98% certainty that that's the way it goes with Deebo. And it's been a great run. Debo's had a lot of great moments and all the rest of it, but I do think that they're going to move off of Deebo. So assuming that, and you look at your receiver core, now you've got Juwan Jennings. You don't have Brandon Ayuk yet because he's not going to be there for off-season workouts. You've got Cowing and Pearsall and not a lot else. And so do you want your quarterback to be there with two guys entering their second year and Juwan Jennings, who's going to have to step forward and really carry a big load early on? Absolutely. So for me, if you want to go into the offseason, this is different than Brandon Ayuk. You wanted Brandon done before he got done, but with the quarterback, you need to have this thing done a lot sooner. That way he can feel whole and he can go out there with his receivers and they can start to get some continuity and some chemistry.
No doubt. Well, and that's also, I think, why you're hearing John Lynch talk about we got to get younger. There's two reasons behind that. One of it, and it's where the mind goes, I think, when he first says that, is, well, yeah, you got to get younger because you got beat up by injuries. And you know, some of these players are, now they're on the downside. They're not producing as well. But the other reason to go younger is financial and power. Like, that's the other reason I think the 49ers would like to get younger, because younger is cheaper and younger is easier to control. Like, let's be real. The 49ers went to the Super Bowl and they came out of it with a loss and a bunch of players who thought they had the whole damn world in their hands. And a lot of them were right. You know, Nick Bosa did before they went to the Super Bowl, but they came out of the Super Bowl and they were the big talk. Like, they lost, but it was almost like they won, because the whole world's like, well, that's the best team. And now they're going to run it back. Okay, let's run it back. Well, Christian's like, I'm going to get mine. And Trent's like, I'm going to get mine. And Brandon's over here with a big neon sign. I'm definitely going to get mine. And the 49ers are looking at this going, okay, yeah, we want to keep this together. But, man, like, how are we supposed to keep everybody happy here? And I think that they made some poor decisions last year, because they did try to keep everybody happy and it didn't make everybody happy. And first and foremost, it ended up all blowing up in their face and leading to a 6-11 season.
Yes, but I don't think that the contracts completely led to the 6-11.
No, not on its own.
Ayuk came out slow. He was starting to actually play pretty well. He had one good game and he got hurt.
Yeah.
I do think that he was trending in the right direction and then he tore up his ACL. McCaffrey was a guy who started slow because of the calf, and then he got hurt. Trent had personal tragedy, as did Mooney Ward. Those are things that you can't really control. Greenlaw wasn't ready until it was probably too late. So there were things that were not contractually based that were problems. But to your point, I look at this year in the offseason, and you have the Deebo thing to address, and it looks like they're going to move off of Deebo. You got Brock Purdy, and you definitely want to sign him for how much and for how long and how soon. But there are other ones out there, and I'm looking at George Kittle, who's now 31.5, and he's in the final year of his deal. So to your point about fans and hardball, how hard do you want the Niners to be with a player like George Kittle, who, look, George Kittle's amazing. He's a top 3-2-1 tight end in football, but he is 31. So do you want to give him a 4-year deal? Because he's got one more year.
Yeah, I don't think
that. Do you
want
to give him, but what do you want to do with George Kittle?
Extend him, but not 4 years.
Right, but that is kind of what you're talking about with, like, you know, hardball, or, you know, what do you want the Niners to do with your favorite guys?
I think, but maybe favorite guys isn't what we're talking about, because you can extend George Kittle and probably do some things in other spots. Like, I would rather the 49ers, if you want to play hardball, do it with the people who didn't play great last year. George Kittle's the last guy on my list.
Right.
He was phenomenal. Might have been their best player last year. So John Lynch did talk about it. He said, we are very motivated, as is George, for him to retire as a 49er. Like, Kittle is getting sort of near Draymondville, where it's like...
$100 million.
Well, but he's getting near that spot where you're like, is he going to finish his career here? Or, like, is that not going to work out? Like, what does he want? Is there value to keeping him even when he starts to go downhill a little bit? These questions are going to start coming up. For me, George is still playing at a very high level, heart and soul guy, kind of the logo of the franchise right now. I think he's important for Brock Purdy. They seem to work really well together, both as far as a pass catcher and just emotionally. I think all that stuff's important. I'd like to see them extend George Kittle, not for a long period of time, but extend him, yes. John Lynch also said, though, he goes, right now that's just a timing thing because, as we said in the crossover, this team's got a big old to-do list. And extending George Kittle right now is not one of the top five things on the list.
It's not. It's Debo, it's Brock, and then I think it's...
personnel, like acquisitions, right?
Sure, free agency.
Yes.
And that all is going to happen. And if you want to look at their free agent list right now, and we've done this before, but there's a lot of guys I think that are question marks, like Talanoa Hufanga is a player who's been great. He's also been a little bit less than great. Do you want to give him, you know, an extension? And his average annual was not great. The value of his contract was only 3.7. I think that his number goes up, but how much do you want to pay for Hufanga when you've drafted guys who maybe can replace him? Jordan Mason is a guy who you'd like to keep as your backup.
He's restricted.
He's restricted, and I know that there's a whole thing about the tender and where you put it, and it's a lot of legalese mumbo-jumbo. For me, the conversation is, do you want him or don't you want him? And the other one is Dre Greenlaw. And, you know, if another team wants to give Greenlaw $6 million a year, are you willing to match that, to keep Dre around? Like, I do think that there are questions with those three players beyond it's Brock and Debo, and then it's what do you do in free agency, but also your own free agents. Aaron Banks is a free agent, a guy who's been, he's been pretty good for you at guard, and he's probably your third best offensive lineman. How much do you want to completely overhaul your O-line? So I do think that they have in-house decisions to make before they start going out there and looking for free agents.
Let's go to the phones. Daniel in the city is with us here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Daniel, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen. Appreciate you. Listen every day.
Thanks, man.
Bottom line, I'm fourth gen San Francisco, right? I think there's a lot of listeners on the call, on the radio right now, who have never seen the Niners win a Super Bowl, right? And the reality is that after last year's game when we lost, what really infuriated me and a lot of people was that the entire conversation was how we're going to re-sign Ayuk and how we're going to deal with this drama, this and this. I never heard one person get up in the offseason and talk about how we're going to go back to the Super Bowl and win, right? And I think a lot of us were anxious. We wanted to hang on to what we had. So we bent over backwards and put up with all the shenanigans, people holding out. And what did we get? We got a big payroll. We got a bunch of people that are out of shape who ended up getting injured in the season. And so after all that, where were we? We were watching other people play in the playoffs, right? And I think the only silver lining to this whole situation is this. I think the fans are fed up. I was in the stadium when Debo got booed after he dropped that ball, complaining he wasn't getting enough target.
Yep.
And everything shifted that moment. So I'm just telling you right now, the leadership. By the way, I want to go back to the drama we had before with Jed York and his hands on the team and how that just blew up. As soon as they stopped that, the team got back on track. We need to get back on track, and we need to sit down with these players and their agents and say, you want to cut a deal? Let's go in the room and cut a deal. But you're going to be in the preseason, you're going to practice, and you're going to show up. And if you don't like those terms, there's a bunch of other teams that will take your shenanigans, right? And I think the fans will have their backs. The fans are fed up with being put through all that shenanigans and ending up not even being able to go to a playoff.
Yeah, hey, Daniel, I think it's a great call. Thank you very much for listening and for checking in. I really do. I think that there's a vibe to that. I mean, the way we talk about it on the radio, it's probably not that firm. I don't think they speak to agents the way we speak to a child.
Right.
But
look, agent.
Yeah, like this is what we're doing. And if you don't like it, right. You can go play for the Saints. I do think, though, there's something to what Daniel's saying. Again, the messaging I hear, we went 6-11 after a year, if not two, where we were out here just handing out money to everybody because we all just think you're the bee's knees and we think we can win it all. And then you go 6-11, and I think Lynch and Shanahan and Parag and others got together and they're like, we need to take this team back. This is our team. This is our team. We run it, and we need to take it back. And so if that means that somebody who is right at the front of the boombox has to go,
yep.
Then somebody at the front of the boombox has to go.
And if you
this
have to
didn't
eat,
work.
If you have to eat $30 million as a result, then you eat it.
Eat $30 million.
That's the way it goes. And if you have to give your quarterback, if you have to battle your quarterback to get that number down to where you're more comfortable, you can do that because he's only making $1 million. So if you offer him 55, he probably takes it.
Probably.
If you give him the Jordan Love deal and we can get into that on the other side.
I think so.